Israel, mass protests against the far-right ultra-nationalist government. Amnon Cohen. The new, far-right, ultra-nationalist Israeli government was sworn in December 2022. It has already provoked unprecedented protests. On the 14th of January 1980,000 took to the streets, despite threats from the National Security Minister, to deploy water cannons against the demonstrators. The following week the number of demonstrators rose to 130,000. On the 27th of January, Palestinians were killed by the Israeli army in Jenin in the West Bank. 9 Israelis were killed in a subsequent terrorist attack in Jerusalem. In the past, such a situation would have led to cancellation of protest rallies. Nevertheless, 170,000 still demonstrated on the 28th of January. The Netanyahu administration is the most right-wing government in Israeli history. Netanyahu is actually on the more moderate wing of the ruling coalition, which includes ultra-nationalist, openly racist, and homophobic zealots. His main coalition partner is the religious Zionist party headed by messianic, right-wing, religious settlers Bezalel Smotrich and Itamar Ben-Gvir. Ben-Gvir, who has now been appointed internal security minister, used to have a photo on his wall of Baruch Goldstein, a Jewish terrorist who massacred 29 Muslims while they were praying in Hebron. Smotrich, who has been appointed finance minister, is a neoliberal and promises to ban the right to strike in many sectors. Capitalists fear destabilization. Capitalists, both in Israel and internationally, are terrified by the rise of this government. This is not because of any democratic sensibilities on their part, but rather their fear that this government is out of their control, and that its provocative actions will pour gas onto the flaming embers of national conflict, destabilizing the situation in Israel and the region, and harming their profits. Surprisingly, the government plan which has provoked the widest opposition in the media, is its proposed reforms to the judiciary, limiting the independence of the Supreme Court, and making it subservient to the government, and allowing its rulings to be overruled by a majority vote in the Knesset, Israeli parliament. Judicial reforms, Netanyahu's get-out-of-jail card. The Supreme Court judges do play a prominent role in Israeli capitalism, as a check for the excesses of elected governments and a supposedly independent arbiter of conflicts. The vast majority of the time, the Supreme Court rules in favor of the government. But occasionally it makes a concession on a secondary issue. The judiciary acts in the interests of the broader capitalist ruling class by, for example, acting to limit the corruption of politicians. A former president, along with a former prime minister, have ended up serving jail terms. The judicial reforms are intended to prevent the courts convicting Netanyahu of corruption and banning him from office, and these are supported by the right-wing settlers who want a faster process for wholesale expropriation of Palestinian land. Despite not being deemed by the Israeli state as citizens, Palestinians from the West Bank have the right to appeal against actions of the Israeli state to the Supreme Court. It rules in the state's favor the majority of the time, but occasionally rules against the more provocative actions of the army. It serves to legitimize the acts of repression and expropriation carried out by the Israeli Defense Forces, IDF, which can claim it is merely upholding law and order. There are enormous illusions in the Supreme Court among the left, and many social struggles end with the deliberations of the Supreme Court. The court serves as a safe conduit for social conflicts, where these are decided by judges and lawyers, with the masses reduced to the role of onlookers. Massive demonstrations. Despite the intentions of the official organizers of the demonstrations, the judicial reforms were not the key element which propelled 170,000 demonstrators to protest against the government. It was revulsion against the racist and homophobic pronouncements of government ministers, along with fear that the government will defund education and social services in order to channel money to the ultra-Orthodox communities, turning Israel into a theocratic dictatorship. Most of all, demonstrators feared that the government's provocations against the Palestinians could fan the flames of the national conflict, exploding the region into a new war. There have been demonstrations of 13,000 in Haifa, 4,000 in Herzliya, 3,000 in Netanya, and smaller demonstrations in other areas. However, the biggest by far have been the 100,000-strong demonstrations in Tel Aviv. The speakers at the demonstrations were dominated by members of the establishment. These included former Prime Minister Yair Lapid, former General and Defense Minister Moshe Yaalon, who pioneered the use of targeted assassinations by the IDF, and Yuval Diskin, former head of the Israel Security Agency, who published an article in Inet calling for a civil strike to be organized to stop the government. But these pillars of the establishment merely aim to provoke a return to office of the people and policies of the previous government, a government which combined more sustainable and restrained repression of the Palestinians with occasional talk of peace. It supports the defense of the Supreme Court's independence, so that it can continue to act as a pressure valve for society, while providing a legal stamp of approval for continued exploitation and oppression by the capitalists. They put forward no alternative other than the Bennett-Lapid government which ruled Israel in 2021 to 2022, and the failure of which to improve the lives of workers, and continued national repression, led to its rapid demise, and the return of Netanyahu. The demonstrators are right to fear that the new government will trigger an explosion of national conflict. This is already beginning to happen, with Israeli armed forces raiding Jenin in the West Bank, killing 9 Palestinians, and wounding scores of others. Hamas responded by firing missiles into Israel from Gaza, to which the Israeli Air Force responded by bombing Gaza. Consequentially, the Palestinian Authority suspended cooperation with the IDF. On the 27th of January, a Palestinian terrorist killed 9 Israelis in Jerusalem, and the following day, a 13-year-old shot and wounded 2 Israelis in Jerusalem. Reports on Israeli television showed Jerusalem as a ghost town with the streets empty, and the journalist's report was punctuated by thugs shouting "death to the Arabs" in the background. There have been reports of dozens of attacks by settlers on Palestinians in the occupied territories. The ethnic violence can escalate and open the way to wider conflicts. The government has announced that the home of the 13-year-old will be destroyed, a long-standing policy applied to Palestinian families, yet the family home of the Jewish murderer of Prime Minister Rabin was not touched. It will also make it easier for Jewish Israelis to arm themselves. 2 army divisions will be sent into Jerusalem, and there are plans to change laws to enable workers to be dismissed without a disciplinary hearing if they are deemed to support terror. The ascent of the new ultra-nationalist government represents a very serious development in Palestine, Israel and internationally. In order to defeat the government, the protests need to provide an independent working-class alternative that can start to undermine the far-right's support. The movement cannot be subservient to capitalist politicians who fear that the new government will harm their profits. It has to put forward an alternative to Netanyahu and Ben-Gvir, and this alternative cannot be a return to discredited capitalist parties which were in power last year, and whose failure led to the return of Netanyahu. This requires the establishment of a party which unites the working class, Jewish and Arab, secular and religious, by means of socialist policies, based on their common interests, to end the national oppression of the Palestinians, along with the continual assaults on the living conditions of the Israeli working class. The movement needs to reach out beyond the middle class, secular Tel Aviv center and build in the working class areas, and in the development towns. No section of the capitalists has an alternative to the current ultra-nationalist government. Only the working class, organized in its own independent party, can show a way out of the developing nightmare.